Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 30th, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, cell phone number, text me before you call, 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener bases worldwide in places like Hare, Zimbabwe, Helsinki, Finland, Auckland, New Zealand, Dublin, Ireland, and, of course, the United States, such as Detroit, Michigan, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Fresno, California, New Orleans, Louisiana. These are just to name a few. And, hey, Aurora, Illinois, you beat Wichita, Kansas this week as our largest group of listeners to our radio programs. That is when they podcast. Okay, follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now a prayer. We'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, lift the veil from their hearts and their ears and their eyes, Father, so they might see and hear the truth. Give everyone out there a blessing tonight so that this program blesses you and glorifies you and not the world or any other such thing. So in your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we have back on with us Tom Mack. He's the principal of White Cottage Publishing Company, a publisher turning manuscripts into books. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He's also an A-plus certified computer technician, a Net-plus certified network technician, a book designer, web designer, and a webmaster of several websites. In the past, he was an airport administrator, IT manager, and company controller. He has taught two college institutions of higher learning. He's also an income tax specialist who often gets consulted on various types of tax issues. Tom has researched the Bible for over 40 years, finding a lot of detail that even most scholars miss. He's one of the pioneers of the Bible Codes movement, and he's been researching the Bible Codes since 1996. And, folks, that's over 20 years plus of code research. Tonight, he's going to continue sharing a program that we started a few weeks ago on the human soul. So why is the human soul mentioned 854 times in Scripture? Well, and many preachers don't talk about it. But, hey, we got Tom to talk about it. And I think you might find tonight's program a surprise, so hang on to the end. So let's bring on Tom. How are you, Tom?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for having me on.
Well, that's good. I've been sitting here thinking of, after the last program that we did, I enjoyed the whole program. It was good. It was educational. The latter part of the program, we got into talking about some things that really stuck in my head. And so, you know, I've been waiting for the opportunity to get you back on, and I don't know why I didn't email you before yesterday, but I'm glad that you were able to make it. Back to you.
My pleasure. And, you know, tonight I'm sort of taking this from where we left off last time. We're
okay.
still going to talk about the soul, but we're going to talk about it in relationship with groups and with ministry and how it goes bad.
Mm.
And if you want some biblical examples of situations where ministries go bad, I would suggest you first read 1 Samuel 2 and go down to the 12th verse. And you will read about the sons of Eli. And they were described as sons of Belial. They knew not Yahuwah. They had no idea who their father was. And that's because they were sons of Belial. That's something we'll research in a few weeks, because one of our authors was researching this very topic when he suddenly died. And
so is that a hint
so
about the new book coming out?
Well, that's one of his books that will be coming out, but it's probably a little further down the road.
Okay. I'll let you go ahead then.
So what happened? We look at the sons of Eli. They were sons of Belial. And when you read through the scriptures, and Pastor Dan has a PDF of this, so you can look through these scriptures for yourself, and you start reading through 2 Samuel 2, and you start reading about how they conducted the tabernacle, and you get appalled, because if you've been studying the Torah and, you know, doing the Torah portions in the book of Leviticus, what you're reading about with what the sons of Eli did was blasphemy. And nobody seemed to care. And if anybody objected, they were treated rather badly. And they were ostracized. And these guys took advantage of their position. We're going to see a lot of that tonight. And finally, in verse 17 of chapter 2, it says, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before Yahweh, for men abhorred the offering." They abhorred the offering, which meant they were into it for other things. And we go to 1 Samuel 8, we find out that Samuel's sons were the same way. He had two sons, and they were judges, but they didn't walk in the ways of Samuel. They turned aside after lucre or money. They took bribes, and they perverted judgment. And then the eventual progression of that is they wanted a king, because they were sick of this. They were sick of being ruled over wrongly. And so, when we get to the New Testament, we find that the apostles are trying to get in front of this. And we read in 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 3, that a bishop or elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not a striker. He doesn't bang his wife around or his family. But most importantly, he's not greedy of filthy lucre. He's not doing it for money. But he's patient. Not a brawler, and he's not looking to enhance his position in life but with using his position. And you go down to 1 Timothy 3, 8, and 9, we find out the deacons have a similar standard. And they're told not to be double-tongued, not say one thing to one batch of people and something else to somebody else. But they're also not to be greedy of filthy lucre. and they, most importantly, they hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Because if you're looking to enhance yourself, the mystery of faith will not be held properly. And in Titus, Paul again says, no, they're not to be given to filthy lucre. That's Titus 1:7. And in 1:10, he goes on further, and he talks about how they better not be teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And Peter, in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, he gets into it, and he warns against leaders that are doing it so they can get rich. And if that isn't enough, in his second book, he warns against those who follow in the way of Balaam, who love the wages of unrighteousness. And if you remember, he was rebuked for his iniquity. The donkey suddenly spoke. That's in 2 Peter 2:15 and 16. And the elder Jude, who wrote just a one-chapter book in the 11th verse, he says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, meaning they're trying to appease our Heavenly Father by doing things that will look good, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. In fact, I would tell people, you read the book of Jude and the book of 2 Peter, they're parallel books. Often in the Bible you will see two books that say the same thing, but they're written by different people. So what we want to do is take all these admonitions.
In part, you just described what's going on. It sounds like you were, if I didn't know better, it sounds like you were talking about some of the churches nowadays.
Very much. And, I mean, the Bible is very clear on what you should not do. Yet, almost every guy you see on TV, because of the pressure to put out, and the financial pressure that's put on these guys when they get into TV ministry, they have to say what's going to bring in money. And when they do that, they pervert the word of our Father. They pervert
amen.
The Bible.
Yeah, I'd like to comment. That's absolutely right. That was something that I had to decide a long time ago when I first started in ministry. I started doing a newsletter, and you know, I decided, you know, then it would absolutely be, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it's going to be what the Word says and what I feel is pleasing to the Father. And the same way with radio, I do the same thing with radio. That's why there's a lot of people I could get on in a heartbeat that'd love to come on this program, but I can't do it because I won't allow that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm responsible to that. I'm not going to do it for money's sake. Back to you.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure you could pull in a lot of money if you did that, but your ministry would be useless.
Yeah.
And you would suddenly not be able to help the people that need the help. And we're going to learn in a while what kind of people you do help and what's happened to them. But first, let's go back. You know, last time we studied Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. And if you don't remember, if you didn't listen to the last one, and I would suggest you do, the word winneth is the Hebrew word laquach. And when you study this word, according to Brown Driver Briggs, which I think is the most authoritative of all the Hebrew concordances, you'll find it means to take, get, fetch, or grab hold of, seize. It only gets translated winneth one time out of 975 occurrences in the Bible. And that, when you start seeing something like that, you know that they're, that unfortunately they're maybe trying to cover something a little bit up. And I don't like to accuse them, and maybe I am a little bit, but this is a little suspicious. You go to the next key word, and it's wise. And when I look that up in the Hebrew, it comes from the Hebrew word shakam. It's used 139 times in the Old Testament. But when you study that word, it means skillful or shrewd, crafty, cunning, wily, or subtle. Even though it gets translated wise, the word wise had a different meaning in the 17th century than it does now. So suddenly, if you start translating it and doing it right, the word says, he that takes souls is cunning. And when you start looking at that, you start saying, are we looking at this totally, completely wrong? And the answer is we most certainly are. And we look, and I have some pictures. If you look at slide 12, you'll see one good case, Joel Osteen. He fills a huge stadium in Houston, Texas, every week. How is he doing that? Why is he so successful? Today we're going to find out a little bit of why. And, but I'm sure some of you are saying, oh, come on. There's nothing like that in the scriptures. Oh, I think you need to read Ezekiel 22. Let's start with the 25th verse. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. And we'll look at devoured in a second. They have taken the treasure and precious things, and they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. These priests are no different than the ones that we read about in 1 Samuel. They perverted the ministry, and by doing so, they devoured or consumed souls. And what we see in this is suddenly the people become like the leader. And last time we talked about some famous preachers, and what they often do is they create clones. They devour a person's soul to the point that they become a clone. And it gets worse.
Yeah,
you go to
amen.
The next verse. Her priests have violated my law. They care nothing for Torah because they're in it for the money, for the wealth, for the prestige, for getting on Larry King.
Yeah.
But, and they profane everything that's holy.
Let me throw in here. And folks, we interview a lot of people over the years that write books, and there's a lot of people, and I'm not going to name names, but there's a lot of people that this was the first radio program they came on and shared their book ever, or maybe just within the first few months. And I've seen a lot of them start off with very, very good hearts. And not saying that they don't have now, but a lot of those folks did just exactly what you said, Tom. Afterwards, they started compromising so they could get on different programs and so on and so forth, you know, TV programs and things. And before you know it, I don't even know them, so to speak. Back to you.
Yeah, you don't know them. As they say, and Ezekiel explains what they do. They violate the law. They don't care about holy things. And they don't teach the difference between the holy and the profane anymore. and they don't show the difference between clean and unclean. Suddenly it's cool to eat anything you want. Of course, when their people start dying of cancer and other untoward diseases, then guess what? They don't care, and suddenly there are widows in their midst. Because the man that should have been there to support her and care for her is not there because these guys didn't do their job. They didn't teach. And even worse, they don't teach about a Sabbath day. They don't teach their people to rest. They want to work, 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 work so you can put more money in our coffers. And then the worst thing is by their works, they profane our Heavenly Father. They do it by their works. And it gets even worse.
Yeah, amen. I can't hold back. I have something else to say, you know. It's just like I've watched the various pitches, many, many over the year from different people, you know, about about how they go forward and try to get people to donate, you know, and only send into them and different things. And you know, when it comes to us, we even tell people, you know, charity starts first where you're at, within your home, and expanding out from there. And if you have something left over, then you can send it to us. But the point is we try to tell them the truth because we have Torah in us. We have the fear of Yahweh. But the biggest job is to tell the people the truth. But truth just doesn't seem to weigh in the balance anymore with these folks. Back to you. We got about 30 seconds, and we're going to have to give your website and things so we can go to break. But you can comment.
Okay. Yeah, we still got a few things to cover here, and so I'm going to try to slip in a couple more things. You get to slide 15. They're like wolves. You know, Paul didn't use that word wolves in Acts out of the blue. He saw this verse and it hit on him. They're like wolves ravening to the prey to shed blood. And we're going to talk about that a little more. To destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And
well, amen. We're going to have to call it right there. You need to tell them where they can find you and we'll go to break.
Okay. My main website is whitestonefoundation.org. I have another one, biblecodes.co. And whitecottagepublishing.com. If you want to write me, it's tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org.
Okay, folks. We'll also, wherever you're listening to this, well, that is when it goes to podcast later on tonight, you will be able to find link to that right there on that podcast. And if you want to know about this PDF, go over to Pastor's page and I'll show you how to get it. All right, we'll be back in about, I think it's 4 minutes, something like that. We'll be back.
Okay.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
With pleasures and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. Day we have is one more chance to snatch us over from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Now you've heard this message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard dries, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul.
Legalism relates to principles of right and wrong behavior. It has been defined as strict literal adherence to the law or to a particular code of religion or morality. The question arises, is being categorized as legalistic an insult or a compliment? To begin with, it should be noted that the term legalism cannot be found in the Bible. However, its moral synonyms as listed by dictionaries are mentioned over 500 times. Virtuous, moral, honorable, chaste, pure, ethical, just, decent, honest, and righteous? Could it be that the use of the word legalistic is an attempt to avoid dealing with these important issues? Should believers be adherents to the moral laws of our Creator, or should every man do that which is right in his own eyes? While it is true that there is none righteous, no, not one, those that are, as the Bible states, born of Him can live in a righteous manner by the power of the Holy Spirit. The next time that someone says that you, a believer in Christ, keeping God's commandments or being legalistic, the best response would be to simply say thank you. Why? Because they are calling you a saint. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the America Voice Radio Network. We're having a real good conversation with Tom Mack tonight about some very important things we left off about the soul last time when he was on. We'll get right back to that in just a second, but first, just a couple words from me. One, I'm working on a new book. It's called Torah and the New Testament. I told you folks that I'm really trying to get all this together so I can send it to the publisher at the end of this summer to get it published for fall, which is, I believe, is a very good time to publish books is in the fall. But anyway, point is, in order to get that done, I got to be able to work out outside of the office. And that means I need a laptop. I really do need a laptop. I don't know if you have an extra one or something, but I need an up-to-date one that's not real slow. So pray about it. See if you can help with that. I did get a donation for it, towards it, and so I thank that person for making that donation. I put it aside to go with it when I have enough to purchase one. Anyway, so also we're looking for radio sponsors. The sponsor we had for a few years, we no longer have that sponsor. I just haven't heard from him in about 6 or 7 months. So pray about sponsoring the radio program, and it could be one of you or a couple of you. I pay $250 a month for radio airtime. You know, that's satellite and all that. And so pray about supporting airtime. Anyway, folks, also don't forget to mention church. We really do need your help to stay alive, to stay awake, to stay there, to help the people, to do all the things that we do and that we've been doing for 19 years. We start our 20th year June 1st in a couple of days. So we are the last hope for so many folks. All of us are all responsible to care one for another as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can call and give a donation over the phone, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And as always, we need King James Version, large print Bibles, if possible. Anyway, now we're back with Tom Mack. He's still there. He's still there, Tom.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, take us back into this. You really got my attention, and I bet you got everybody else's attention, too. So,
yes, this is not something most of these guys want to talk about. And
no,
so we're going to go to Revelation 17, where we see the illustration of a harlot riding a beast. And explaining all that would take about 10 programs, which we don't have time for today. But today I want to look at Revelation 17:6, and we're going to ask a question. We're going to ask, why would the harlot drink blood? First, let's read the scripture, Revelation 17:6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahushua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Actually, admiration is sort of a bad word now. I would say amazement. You're just looking at this, and you suddenly have a couple of questions. Why does the harlot drink so much blood? Why is it so beneficial for her to do it? And then why would John, and I'm going to leave it just at that, because there's a discussion about who really wrote Revelation, and I don't want to get into it today.
No, let's not.
And in Genesis 9:4, we learn, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. Well, when you look at that word life, it is the Hebrew word nephesh, which means soul. So we find out, we also will read this in several other scriptures, that the blood is a container for the soul. So when you drink blood, you are drinking souls of people. That is why it is so important that we don't drink blood. And it not only is a prohibition in the Old Testament, it's in Acts 15 as well, sort of as a minimum standard. Don't drink blood. And that's because there is souls in it. That's why when we cook meat, we're so careful to cook the blood out of it. And we're doing that because even animals have souls. And so We do not want to consume another soul and contaminate ourselves. And I put in several scriptures in slide 18. And the last one there, the horse leech, Proverbs 30:15. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. And that word horse leech is the Hebrew word aluka. And I started researching that word. And I found out that really that word aluka is a living human being that lives on blood. If you want to use it, if you want to go there, he's a vampire.
Wow.
And...
back up. Now, okay. I had not looked... Folks, I haven't looked at this slide. This is the first time I've heard this. That's pretty amazing. That part in itself is pretty amazing. In Proverbs 13:15, that's... Okay, you can go on. I'm just telling you that... Yeah. Folks, you need to get this PDF. Go over to the pastor's page. It'll tell you how to get it.
Yeah, this thing, and in Jewish lore, the book is a Sefer Chassidim. We learn that a luka is a human being that lives on blood, and sometimes it can shape-shift into a wolf. And when it's dead, it must have its mouth filled with earth so that it doesn't return as a demon. Well, maybe some of that's a little bit dubious, but we've seen vampires in most every culture on earth. So there has to be something to all this. And other scholars have argued that aluka is the name of a female demon that mothered the famous demon Lilith, which is mentioned in Isaiah 34:14, except it's translated screech owl, because Lilith has a voice much like a screech, and there's plenty of evidence for that, especially when you look at Marian apparitions. The voice that Mary has in those is like a screech owl. Also wanted to mention Lilith had two daughters, one named Aaliyah and the other named Lamia. If you look at it, I think that's Obama's daughter's names. And there's other lore that suggests that Lilith actually turns men into vampires, the most famous one being Vladi Tepes, who we know as Dracula. And so this is why we have to be careful of blood consumption. And if you look and study it, there's many occult and Masonic cults who believe in drinking in blood because they think it'll extend their lives. And maybe there's some point where it might be true, because how old did David Rockefeller live to be? Pretty old. And George H.W. Bush lived to be a long time. And we know George H.W. Bush was a member of Skull and Bones. Aleister Crowley was probably about the most evil man of the 20th century. He openly promoted ideas that having sex with children and drinking of blood were the elixirs of youth.
Stop.
So when
we
look at this
stuff, right now, see, you know, we talk about in Ecclesiastics, it's said over and over, it says, there's nothing new under the sun, correct? Correct. Okay. Well, you know right now what they're doing, there's clinics and places that you can go to get the blood, for older people to go to get blood, you know, be transfused with blood of younger people, you know, of young people, and it's supposed to actually help them. Scientifically, there's a reason why it does, and it boosts your blood or whatever. So what you're saying here is actually scientifically proven. It does do that, and there are places that are open, you know, that are open in these places for you to go buy the blood of the young back to you.
Yes. So when we look at the book of Revelation and we look at this verse, we suddenly realize that John was being very literal. He wasn't being symbolic and figurative. He was being very literal. And I think he even understood this. I think he would have preferred not to, but sometimes the Lord just doesn't want to sit in our little realm of thinking. He wants to expand our thinking, and sometimes he does it in ways we don't necessarily appreciate. And yeah. So suddenly we realize that this harlot system consumes people, and they live off their blood. Maybe not so literally, but they do find a way to consume souls. And so I'm asking a question that it's going to take a little time to think about it. Could the devil really want you saved, in quotes? And the answer is sort of yes. If he can get you saved under his circumstances, he'll let you touch salvation, but eventually he's going to pull you back and get you into a place where suddenly you are lukewarm, because he knows that if somebody is lukewarm, Yeshua himself is going to spit you out of his mouth.
Okay, let me come in here. There is, you know, there's a combination for being saved, actually, folks. And it kind of goes like this. First, you realize that you're worthless without a sacrifice of your sins. There's no way that you can ever achieve it. You make that realization that you're a lawbreaker, that you're just messed up. You accept that. You accept the fact that you can't do it without Yeshua. You accept his sacrifice, that he died for you for that. But then you have to turn away. And here's the problem. While a lot of these places, teachers, will teach you how to get saved in the first part, but they don't teach you the turning away part. And so while it says no man can take your salvation, you can give your salvation up. So the word says if you continue on in sin once you've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for your sins, only fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Now, you would become an adversary if they don't start teaching you. They need to lead you and explain to you the rest, but they only give you part of the combination. What do you think, Tom?
Very true. In fact, that's one of the things Ezekiel was complaining about, that you're not teaching the difference between the sacred and the profane. You're not teaching the law. You're not teaching people how to walk the way they should walk. Instead, what they're doing instead is they're working on emotions. And the preacher working in these meetings is using soul power. He's asserting his soul over the soul of the people in the place, to the point that the attendees get fraught with emotion. They succumb to pressure and they get saved. And then once they get saved, they fill out their little card, and suddenly they're sent to designated churches. And these churches are designed to deaden spiritual growth. And so they will get taught a feel-good experience, but they won't be taught truth. And what the people eventually do is they become part of a group and they develop a oneness. And then a lot of false teachings get introduced into these groups. And suddenly These people are given a false sense of security about what they think their faith is. And they don't realize there's more because they aren't taught that there's more. For example, Dr. Rick Warren, he doesn't believe that people have individual souls. He says that the church itself is a collective soul, which is a very occult teaching. And he's using methods taught by Dr. Peter Drucker, which I studied in graduate school when I was going to business school. And he was a management consultant. One of the things he gave us was management by objective, a pretty worthless way to run a company. But he went around and he sold that for a lot of years, made a lot of money off of it. And then, as I said, what happens is a lot of these people get into the church system and they get inserted into programs and they're given the illusion that they're serving our Heavenly Father. I would ask people tonight to ask this question. What would happen if our Heavenly Father were to withdraw the Holy Spirit from the earth? How would it affect your church? Would your program just keep going? Would the preacher just keep on doing sermons? And would the church service proceed as usual? For a lot of churches, the answer is yes. Programs just keep on going, preacher keep preaching, and the service is the same. Because it's all soul power. It's not the Holy Spirit running it, despite what they will say. And then the worst thing is what they're looking for out of these people that come in and get saved is they're looking for the cream of the crop. And what they do is they grab them and put them in the Masonic lodges where they become thrice born. And that's a term one used by Jimmy Carter in a Time magazine article back in the 70s. He said he was thrice born, which is a very Masonic term. They're born physically at birth, born again as a Christian, and then reborn as a Mason. And then at the 32nd level, they swear their allegiance to Lucifer the Sorcerer. And I got to correct this. So many people get this wrong. There's no scripture that says Lucifer is the devil. It's a Roman Catholic tradition. So don't call a member of a Masonic lodge a devil worshiper. Most of the time they're not. And they'll think you're stupid. But, you know, once these guys get into the lodges, they get preferential treatment in their jobs and in their business. People get promotions because they're brother Masons.
Right.
Part.
Right. Right. That's absolute. And that's probably something that you should do in the future. That would be a good program about some of these, cults, like, Masonic lodges and things. But, the point is the modern day, these churches started changing in the late 60s, middle late 60s. Before that, while the churches didn't really preach exactly what the Messianic people now are saying, preaching Torah, they preached against sin. They preached that you had to turn away. If you'd go into one of those churches and you'd come out feeling like you've been ripped to shreds. But that was the point. That was supposed to happen. Now they just it's all feel good and they don't want to offend anybody for fear they'll go down the street and they'll lose their monthly tithe and the offering bucket they pass by you about 200 times a service back to you.
Okay. So I would say this much. I wanted to mention Lucifer is not the devil. No scripture teaches that. In fact, the word Lucifer never appeared in the Bible until 700 A.D., when the Catholic Church decided to make a change. The
sorcerer's name was Hillel. And there's a whole study in that, and I won't go into it now, but you need to reread Isaiah 14, because we're sort of a little short on times. We need to cover some other things. What people don't realize is bodies and souls are literally commodities in the occult world. And bodies and souls can be separated and sold separately. You won't see them on an official commodity exchange, but there are exchanges. Because once somebody controls a soul, they have the ability to use their mind, their will, and their emotions for personal gain. And you say, whoa, what do you mean souls divided? Well, let's go to Psalm 7:2. It says, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. And in Psalm 50:22, now consider this, ye that forget Eloah, or the Lord, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver you. So what happens? They fragment souls and sell them off. And, you know, we see that sometimes in various movies, but we think, oh, it's just voodoo. No, this is done by most occult groups. And a corrupted church organization will sell off parts just to keep themselves going. Because, honestly, the only thing the corrupted church wants is they want that part of their soul that will cause you to attend their services, participate in their programs, and most importantly, part with your money. Now, they may sell off part of that soul that will get you to buy brand A over brand B, even though brand B is better than brand A. And what do you think a lot of this advertising does? It subverts your soul. And before we just totally give up and say, well, how do we get a handle on this? Well, thankfully, the Bible has answers, not just questions. It has answers. And Yeshua says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And secondly, he tells us that we should love Yahuwah, thy Elohim, with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And he's quoting Deuteronomy 6:5. And I have scripture in Deuteronomy 4 saying, but if from thence thou shalt seek Yahuwah thy Elohim, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, which is now, if thou turn to Yahuwah thy Elohim and shall be obedient to his voice, for Yahuwah thy Elohim is a merciful El. He will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which ye swear unto them.
Okay,
he
we're going to have
you.
Oh, you got about a minute left, and part of that you got to tell them where to find you.
Okay, the biggest thing, and I put at the end of this, at the end of this presentation, I put in a prayer that you can start praying to bring your soul back into you and to restore your soul back the way the Lord made you. And that I would encourage people to go to the back of this presentation and not only read this prayer and do it for yourself, but you can do it for all your friends and all your family. so that they will, you can start bringing yourself back to where the Lord originally built you. And you can start to be the person your Heavenly Father wanted you to be in the first place.
You know, there's a big mystery is explained in all this, and I can make it really, really short because I'm going to have to. Is folks, when you get married and you make love to your wife, then it's, you know, it talks about the two becoming as one because there's an intermingling of your spirit at that point. So then every time that you have illicit sex, you're also taking on a part of other things, people's spirits. I got to go tell them where you're at. I'm completely out of time.
Okay. You could write me about this at tom.mack, M-A-C-K, at whitestonefoundation.org.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Tom, thanks for being on. I just really got to go. I don't have any time at all left. Be blessed. They'll find you. All right. Folks, we got to go. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.